Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 226 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going to talk sports on this podcast. I'm going to talk about Serena Williams, and I'm going to talk about Colin Kaepernick. But first, I'm just going to knock out a couple of quick things. Kamala Harris asked the ultimate question at the Senate hearings over Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court last week. Question was basically, I'm paraphrasing, but if he could name any laws that the government has power to make over the male body. Bam, mic drop. Of course not. He stammered, ba 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 ba. The right wing got on Twitter and said, well, what about selective service? What about the draft? Really? Come on now. But anyway, I'm not going to spend time on it because you know he's going to be confirmed. This is a Republican thing. There's enough Republican senators and he'll be confirmed. It's a moot point, but score big for Kamala Harris. Beautiful question showing how brilliant she is. The other story that I can't wait to see how they spin. I know you've heard about this by now. In Dallas, Texas, an off-duty cop, Amber Geiger, went into the wrong apartment and shot the black man living there. He was in his own apartment. She walked into the wrong apartment and shot him. More and more details come out. So now the story is that his apartment was one floor below hers or above hers. Anyway, she pulled in on the wrong floor, walked in from the garage, tried to use her key to open the door. The door was ajar. So the pushing on it with her key opened the door. She saw a large hulking figure. Where have we heard that before? Hell, I'm a large hulking figure. In the apartment, said something and shot and killed him. Yeah. You went into the wrong apartment on the wrong floor. Apparently there was a welcome mat that was there that wasn't there. You know, just, but sometimes people come by your house and they just set up a welcome mat in front of your door. And, you know, they'll have different furniture. But why turn the lights on? Why turn the lights on when you can just shoot someone in the dark? So she's been charged with manslaughter. They say it's possible she'll be charged with murder. Charged and convicted are two different things. I think all this investigation is looking for a way to spin her out of this. But let's hope I'm wrong. Okay, so let's get to sports. Two big stories. In sports, obviously, Serena Williams and the U.S. Open, she made it to the finals. She lost. And the word is from tennis people, you know, and I'm not going to claim to be a tennis person. I know how to play tennis. I know the rules, but I'm not going to be any kind of expert. Said she probably would have lost anyway. But the umpire accused her of cheating, accused her of getting signals from her coach in the stands. Now, apparently in the tennis world, tennis players are always getting signals from their coach in the stands. It's common. Serena got mad and she said, don't accuse me of cheating. And again, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting exactly, but she's basically, don't accuse me of cheating. I would rather lose than cheat. And he took away a point. She said, you're a thief. And he took away a game. She smashed her racket down. That was cost of the point. Now, afterwards, she said simply that, you know, men have behaved like this forever. Listen, I grew up in the John McEnroe era. I remember watching John McEnroe play tennis. McEnroe's temper was legendary. And you know something? I didn't even know there was a rule that you could take away a game. That's how rare they did it. John McEnroe's meltdowns were legendary. Everybody knows. Didn't even know there was a rule that you could take away a point. That's how rare this is, how ridiculous this is. This umpire took away a point and ultimately took away a game. And afterwards, Serena Williams talked about, well, it's unfair, but I did it, and now the next time it comes up, basically, the next time a woman shows emotion, shows temper, they're going to have to deal with it, you know? So it's like and forgive the expression, she took the bullet on this one, and she took the high road at the end. And you know what? I'm reading a lot of editorials about this, and I'm reading people's opinions, and I agree with many of them that I read. Like, why does she have to take the high road? Why is Serena Williams not allowed to get mad if she's being cheated in the U.S. Open finals? Are you kidding me? She's being penalized for being the best, possibly the GOAT, possibly the greatest of all time, definitely the best in this era, you know. And listen, no disrespect to Naomi Osaka, who won, a Haitian-Japanese woman, as her first Grand Slam win. And she was, like they say, she was probably going to win anyway. And they booed her at the end. No, they didn't boo her. They booed the outcome at the end. And Serena stood next to her and said, no, don't boo. Don't ruin her first major win. You know, it wasn't. Basically, it was like, it's not her fault. It was the umpire. And, you know, why does Serena have to take the high road? That's my thing. Listen, she's entitled to get mad. She was being treated unfairly. Listen, there's still a lot of people that hate Serena Williams because she's black. Ooh, you're not supposed to say that? Oh, my gosh, racism ended. No, they hate Serena Williams because she's black. I promise you, if Serena Williams had been some small, sexy, European blonde tennis player and lost her temper, it would have been fine. It would have been okay. She'd have got a warning. After the match, they would have fined her a few $1,000 and they would have moved on. They wouldn't take a point. They wouldn't take a game. How do I know? Because it's never happened. They can't stand Serena's domination of the sport because she dominates it on her own terms. She hasn't become anyone but Serena Williams. Remember when it was all about how big she is and how she looks and blah, blah, blah. And then we had just recently the French Open. She can't wear a cat suit. She can't wear that. Oh my gosh, she can't wear that. She can wear a super short dress with her ass out. That'd be okay. Not her ass because it's too big. But, you know, if it was a small, cute ass, she could. That's fine. But the cat suit, no. We got to change the rules on that. Now it's this bullshit. You know what? It only makes her stronger. It only makes her bigger. That's what they don't understand. That's what they, and by they, I mean the racists and the idiots and the old guard in tennis trying to, still, after the Williams sisters' domination and now a Haitian-Japanese woman win, they're still like, we can keep this white. We can somehow, maybe Donald Trump will help us. Somehow, we will keep this white. No. This is a woman of color dominating your sport. Serena, you can't say it enough. Kudos to Serena Williams. And she did something she didn't have to do. She took the high road. And she, you know, of course she's being portrayed. And there's nothing scarier than the angry black woman. I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe the black man with superhuman strength, which they're going to have to figure out in Dallas. Somehow they'll have to figure out how this man was in his own apartment living his life. And forgive me for saying this man. He has a name. His name is Botham Jean or Botham Jean. And naming the murderer, because that's what happens all the time. So I'm sorry. Mr. Botham Jean was murdered in his apartment in Dallas for the crime of being in his apartment living his life. But anyway, they'll come up with something. And then superhuman strength. They just like that. Black men with superhuman strength. And it's the same thing with Serena Williams. This hatred of Serena Williams because she is physically dominant, but also dominant in skill and longevity. She's been in this pro tennis 16 years. Usually 16 years old is when a woman starts in pro tennis, and like 25 is you're done, you're old, you're out, you know? And she's still here and she's still dominating. She's still winning, number one. So they hate that. So yeah, there's the mammy cartoon in one of the editorials about her being mad. And it's interesting in this particular cartoon that the artist, and I hate I hate giving publicity to shit, but Mark Knight of Knight Cartoons in the Herald Sun drew this cartoon, and not only did he make Serena Williams into the mammy with the big lips and the blah, 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 but he also, somehow, he turned Naomi Osaka into a white blonde woman. Nope, no race there. No race there. Yeah, the Haitian Japanese woman who won. Well, in our mammy cartoon, we're going to have to make her a white blonde woman. So that's it. Serena Williams, I hope she comes back to win another major. I hope she wins 10 more, but just enough to be the win the most of all time, become the greatest of all time, and her picture will be up there in all her blackness. And you guys will just have to, I don't know, just have to be mad. Just have to be mad, because you can't keep deducting a game. You can't keep deducting a point. I wish it was 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, they would have deducted a game and she would have just won by one less game. But I think she'll be back. Okay, now, Colin Kaepernick, you know this, you know it by now, the Nike ad. If they laugh at your dreams, you, because your dreams are crazy, maybe they're not crazy enough. Colin Kaepernick did this inspirational ad for Nike. It had all kind of people in it, from a kid on a skateboard falling down a few times and getting up again, to a kid who wrestles, who was born with no legs, to Serena Williams was in there. You know, don't be the best at your sport, be the greatest athlete of all time. Good line. And apropos, LeBron James, you know, go beyond basketball. And Colin Kaepernick, you know, the line was, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And it's a picture of Kaepernick. And, you know, the right wing pretty much lost their shit. Completely lost their mind. First thing that happened was they started burning up their Nikes. I'm going to burn up my Nikes. Well, that's fine. You know why? You already paid for them. Nike already got your money. They were ripping the swoosh off their socks. And I said it before, I'll say it again. They got a lot of practice by ripping the sleeves off their t-shirts. What is that about? What is with the t-shirts with the sleeves ripped off? But anyway, they did that. Oh, they got into a frenzy. They burned their Nikes on the barbecue. They burned their Nikes in the fire pit. Okay. So many things about this. For one thing, the Nike ad was brilliant. I heard some guy, I don't even know who he was. I was just listening to sports radio, and they had this guy, and he was talking about how bad the ad was. Why do they have a skateboarder? My kid watches that on YouTube. That doesn't mean anything. This guy was totally dismissing the fact that the ad was about being inspirational, about falling down and getting back up, about trying again. Now, they love the sacrifice. He's not sacrificing everything. What about the troops? They love this. What about the troops? What about you? Fuck off. All right. Fuck off. This ain't about the troops. This ain't about the flag. And I'll take it a step farther. You don't care about the troops or the flag. Proof. Look how we treat our veterans. Imagine a politician saying, hey, and I've said this before, and I think this would work. Every American has to pay $10 a year in a veterans tax, right? There's 300 million people. That would be $3 billion. If my math is correct, that would be $3 billion for the veterans, okay? Pay $1 and we'd have 300 million. Tax increase. You must be one of them Democrats, just tax and spend. That's how much they care about the veterans. The national anthem, your dear leader, baby hands Trump, doesn't even know the words to the national anthem. This has nothing to do with that, okay? It's been said repeatedly. Colin Kaepernick said it, and everyone who's listened to a word he says has said it. His protest was about police brutality and inequality in the United States justice system. It appears on all levels. It just happened again this week. Okay, that's what the protest is about. That's why he took a knee. Sacrifice everything. It's his career, okay? And I can relate to this because there's nothing I love more than comedy. I love doing it. It is in me, okay? Football was in his DNA. He started playing when he was a little kid, right? He's devoted his whole life to making it. And he got to play football in the best league there is on the biggest stage possible. And he gave it up. He lost it because of collusion amongst the owners, because they don't want him. They don't want his brother. So did he sacrifice everything? Yes. Yes. If there's anything you're that passionate about, you know. Is it the same as a soldier getting killed in battle? Of course not. No. But you know what? You don't care about that. So stop bullshitting. Well, when I say you, I mean them, okay? Because you're listening to me. And if you're listening to me, you're not an anti-Kaepernick person. But anyway, the comparison is ridiculous. And this is what they do. And this is what the right wing does. And this is how last year they changed the argument. They took it away from police brutality and inequality in the justice system. They made it about the troops. What about the troops? What about the flag? What about the flag and the troops? What about the troops and the flag? Blah, 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 blah. And they'll say now that I'm disrespecting the troops and the flag, to which I will say, fuck you, all right? I've been there. I've actually been to Iraq. I've been honored enough to go over there and make these guys and women laugh. I've seen the conditions they're under, and I got to make their life a little easier for one day, and it was great. And I appreciate them for it. It was fantastic. They thanked me, which is ridiculous. I thank them. So don't get on me about that bullshit, okay? You got nothing because you're sitting in Alabama or Kentucky or wherever the hell you are, and you've never given them a dime, and you're not willing to have your taxes raised a penny to treat them better, to give them medical care. You know, there was a time when veterans got, like, you get medical care for life. That's what they should get, okay? They should get that. They should be veterans care for life. They should get the home loans, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not going to get into all of that, all the benefits taken away by the government. Government loves them. Hate football playing some bitches. But we can't spend no money on them because we got to lower taxes for some rich some bitches. Football owners, fuck off. Don't care. Shut up. You don't care about the veterans. You care about keeping the players in line. You care about the slave mentality you have over the players. You care about their unguaranteed contracts so you can cut them at any time for any reason and not pay them. You care about that much control, but you damn sure don't care about the troops or about the flag or about the national anthem. This only started in 2009 because you made a deal with the military to do this whole national anthem flag thing. So don't act like it's patriotism. Has nothing to do with it. Sacrifice everything. Man gave up his career. Yeah, and then, well, Nike's making money. Good. Good. Let me tell you something. I can't buy enough Nikes. If my feet weren't so big, when I bought a pair of Nikes, I'd buy a bigger pair to put the pair I bought in. That's right. I'd wear them two at a time. But they ain't making a size 24 to wrap around my size 14s. Nike's sales. The stock initially dropped a hair, then sales went up, I think, like 27%, 30%. I know all kind of people buying Nikes. My favorite charity, said it before, I'll say it again, Shoes That Fit. You can find them at shoesthatfit.org, and they buy sneakers for kids going to school. And you better believe I'm donating some Nikes. I'll donate some money in the name of Nike to Shoes That Fit. I can't support Nike enough. Thank you for doing this. Now, this guy on the radio, he's saying, well, where was Nike 2 years ago? Great. It would have been great if they did it 2 years ago, but they did it. That's the point. They did it. They're supporting Colin Kaepernick, and he's, you know, are they making money? Yeah, but so what? As many people said, it will be proven that Nike is on the right side of history on this. You know where it's proven? At the cash register. These same people who hate Nike for hating America. Some bitches must hate America instead of worrying about sneakers or to worry about coal. Yeah, they love the coal. That's it. We got coal. Miners, and ain't no Air Miner sneaker, some bitch. You know, rather than get all concerned about this, you know, why don't you look at what's going on with the government? This, okay, totally distraction, side story about coal, but this is an example of how brainwashed and ignorant these followers are. And they are definitely followers, because the symptom of being a follower is you don't think. They've removed all the coal burning regulations in West Virginia. Now scientists and doctors told West Virginia, this is going to shorten your life. Okay, they showed pictures of the coal mines. And mind you, I don't know what they're doing with this coal. Is there a coal-powered car coming out? Is Tesla working on something? I don't know. But anyway, they showed back in obviously in the 60s and 70s, this black smoke just pouring out of these coal plants, right? These coal-fired power plants, et cetera, just pouring out. Then they started with mild regulations. Then they actually regulated them. And in the 90s and early 2000s, they showed white smoke, particulates still in the smoke. I mean, it is smoke, but much cleaner, much cleaner. Now it's going to go back to black smoke. And they're like, well, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your kids, blah, blah. We don't care. We're going to have jobs. You're going to have jobs, but you know who's going to have money? The mine owners, the rich people, you idiots. You're helping them again. So anyway, this thing, I don't know. I don't know how, you know, yeah, they got, the wife of a soldier who died. You don't know nothing about sacrifice and Sean Hannity. Like, I'm sorry. Did I even mention that fucking idiot? What Colin Kaepernick and what Nike have done is beautiful because it's back in the conversation. And now the conversation is about Kaepernick. And although there's still all this talk about not sacrificing and disrespecting troops, there are enough more people now talking about what the original protest was about. What the protest was originally about police violence and about inequality in the justice system. So they brought the conversation back. They brought the conversation back. So kudos to Colin Kaepernick. Kudos to Nike. Are they making money? Yeah. Is that a sin? No. Remember, these right-wing people love capitalism. Pull yourself up by bootstraps. Well, this is business. This is business. Nike not only is doing the right thing, they're doing good business and doing the right thing at the same time and making money. There ain't no sin in it. Would you sacrifice everything? I don't know. I can't think of a cause that would cause me to give up my comedy career. Now, obviously, I'm not in that position, right? Anything I say, people who don't agree with it can just not buy tickets to a show, get up and walk out if they're a network or whatever. I've lost gigs over my opinion. That's okay. It happens. But it's not like what happened with Colin Kaepernick, where the door is shut to your entire career. And again, this is an unusual thing because this is something you work for all your life. All your life. See a lot of jobs, people like you might lose your job. And no disrespect to your job, whatever your job may be. Say you're a coal miner. Why don't we use that one since I've been joking about that? But that's different than a career you worked. See, you didn't work and train and devote your life to being a coal miner from when you were a little kid. But that's what football is. That's what pro sports are. You may not like athletes, but they dedicated their lives to getting that good. Even though they're born, obviously, athletic, maybe they're born with more natural talent than people have. Size, speed, reflexes, et cetera, all of that. But you still got to work because everyone you're competing against was born with that size and speed and those reflexes and that talent. So that's what the sacrifice is. I don't know why I have to say this. And again, the sad thing is we all speak in a bubble, right? So I'm talking about what this sacrifice is. No one on the right is going to hear what I have to say. And nobody cares. I get, you should see some of my Twitters. I got a new troll on Twitter. He's hilarious. I think this is all Barack Obama's fault. He had a whole thing about Barack Obama gave a speech last week, by the way. And man, How beautiful was it to hear a president talk again? And it reminds me of when Barack Obama was president, when he first came on the scene, and he's so articulate. Well, he's so articulate. You know, they like to say it about black men. He's so articulate. He graduated from Harvard. I know. And he's articulate. And we took articulate for granted. And then last week, Donald Trump was attacked by the word anonymous. It killed. Anonymous beat his ass. So he suddenly it was like, wow, articulate is a thing. Let's not take articulate for granted. Okay? Oh, geez, what an idiot. But anyway, so I have this troll, and he's, I don't even know, like, what the logic was, but it had something to do with Barack Obama, unemployment figures, and Colin Kaepernick, all in one troll thing. It was, you know, the effort they put into this hate, you got to admire it. So anyway, they're not listening to me, or a few of them are, and they get angry all the time. And that I don't care. Please, thank you. Protest, please. I can use the publicity. So kudos to Serena Williams. Kudos to Colin Kaepernick. Tiger, what the fuck? You know, I'm a fan of Tiger Woods golf. I wish I had seen Tiger Woods play live in his prime. I may go see him play live now. I'm torn about it. But he doubled down on his support of the White House and Trump and all. And it's like, what the fuck, man? What world are you living in? Like, do you have that much money? Is the tax cut that important to you? That's hard to believe. Because if you have that much money, does it matter? A few million extra off the top? I don't even know. But yeah, he's still, you know, you got to respect. He said you have to respect the White House. Baby hands, Trump doesn't respect the White House. Why should anyone respect the White House when the man in the White House is not worthy of respect? I guess, Tiger, I guess you're going to be okay in 10, 15 years when someone grabs your daughter by the pussy. I guess that'll just be fine, as long as we respect the office that the pussy grabber's working in. I don't even know. I can't imagine. But it's his right. You know, this is another thing. Yeah, it is his right. He has the right to support Trump and support this White House. So good for you, Tiger. You know, and yeah, Nike's got him too. Man, I don't even know how that works, but let's just hope that him and Kaepernick don't show up at the same party or with Serena, you know. It's disappointing. I'll put it that way. Tiger Woods' attitude toward this is disappointing. It's his right. He's free to believe as he believes. He's free to state publicly anything he wants. But I will say, as a fan, it is horribly disappointing. Okay, so that's it. That's it this week. I just wanted to do that. I wanted to talk some about what's going on in the sports world, because we can go round and round over and over about the same old thing with baby hands and all that nonsense. And if you want to laugh, just follow Marco Rubio. There's a guy who would jump sides of the fence and kiss Trump's ass after Trump talked about him like a dog. Just saying, it's funny. Sorry, got off topic again. I got to learn to focus. I also have to learn to do a podcast on a regular basis. I thank you so much for listening. I thank you for putting up with me and my sporadic podcast. I thank you for coming out. I just finished a weekend at the Improv in Ontario, California. A lot of listeners came out. A lot of people came out. Thank you. I appreciate that. My next big set of live shows is going to be at the end of the month, the 28th and 29th of September. I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun. I'm going to be at a club called Comics in the Mohegan Sun Casino. Between now and then, the 21st, I'm at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. And of course, I'm going to be doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. That's going to be a big one. But, the new CD, Man Overboard, it's out there. It's also going to be available on my website. You'll be able to click and buy a signed copy. I will send you a signed copy. If you've seen me live, you know that signature is going to be worth something as soon as I get arrested. Thank you. Who's paying attention? You are. And you people are the best. I appreciate it.